Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. On Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I am so excited to have you here today. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. I'm also the best-selling publisher at InspiredLivingPublishing.com, a hybrid boutique publishing company that gives visionary female authors a voice, venue, and platform to share their sacred wisdom, enhance their brand, and attract their aligned audience. In all that I do, I'm really passionate about intention, energy, and if you follow my brands, you know it's one of my favorite topics. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about energy, positive and negative. Because whether we realize it or not, we absorb positive and negative energy each day. And if we don't clear these energies, we risk picking up on collective energy and becoming so encumbered that our emotional free will is at stake. So by clearing unwanted energy and drawing in energies that we do want, we create healthy centers within ourselves and in our personal spaces. As with any form of hygiene, right, spiritual well-being depends on daily attention and good habits. And joining me today on this topic is Barbara Moore, author of The Modern Guide to Energy Clearing. Back in the early 90s at a party, someone put a tarot deck in Barbara's hands. She's held on tightly ever since. Tarot provides just enough structure so that we don't get lost as we explore the mysteries, plumb our dark corners, and locate our North Stars. Barbara has been reading and writing for as long as she can remember. She's published a number of books on tarot, including Tarot for Beginners, Tarot Spreads, The Steampunk Tarot, The Gilded Tarot, The Mystic Dreamer Tarot, and Tarot of the Hidden Realm. Barbara also loves working directly with clients, helping them uncover guidance and insight in the cards. Welcome, Barbara.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here. You can tell I'm a little excited.
I get the same way. And as we were talking before getting on the air, I love this topic, and I was really wanted you on the show because I can tell not just about energy, but the tarot and all of it, you're so passionate about. It comes through in everything that you do. When I saw your new book, I'm like, oh, yes, I want Barbara on the show because I think so many of us don't realize the importance of the energy that we have within ourselves, but also the energy all around us. How did you just begin this whole journey, aside from that party where back in the 90s, what led you to everything that you're passionate about writing about now and this book?
Oh, that's a really great question. And I wish I had a nice little story to kind of encapsulate all of that. But the truth is, the energy part of what I do and study and practice and write about happened rather naturally. Like, I wasn't even calling it anything. I wasn't consciously studying or looking at different modalities and programs. I would just move through my life and recognize this doesn't feel right. I should try this and I should do that. So it's all just the way I lived my life. And it wasn't until my publisher asked me to write the book that I had the opportunity to think about it in a very logical fashion, because if you're going to write about something and explain something to somebody, you need to be super clear on it yourself. And that's one of the reasons I love writing books, is because sometimes I feel like, well, I've been thinking about something for a long time or doing something for a while, and I know the subject really well. But the real test, I think, in whether you really know something is if you can explain it to somebody else. And so the energy work started becoming more conscious and more orderly through my tarot practice, because as my tarot practice developed, I started recognizing the need for me to be as clear as possible and to hold a safe space for my client, which that is also about energy work. And so it became an important aspect of being a good reader, a good responsible reader. So I actually then started, oh, and my shamanistic studies really helped bring a lot to this too. With the shamanistic practices, there was the clearing part, of course, but one of the other aspects which was kind of new to my practice, or at least new in a really conscious way, was we don't just take energy in, but we also give energy out. And we can do magnificent things if we are clearing, cultivating, and putting out very specific energy. I believe we can change the world if we do that.
Oh, I know we can. You are so right. And I am very conscious of the energy I bring to something, because I used to live the other way, right?
Right.
Where I allowed energy to come at me and I had no spiritual boundaries, so I was always spinning because mm-hmm. I didn't know how to balance it or maintain my own energy in the midst of others' energy. And, you know, I'm going to be 56 and I'm so glad that I found my grounding in learning how to separate the two. So you've been on this path, you know, God sent you receive that deck. It's, what, almost 20 years. For those
almost 30.
30. God, well, already,
yeah.
2018, you're right. And I'm like, God, time is flying. My daughter's going to be 34, so time has gone by quickly. So for those who aren't sure what tarot means, explain what tarot is. A tarot deck, is it one type of deck? Is it a variety of types? Is there something that describes tarot? I'm curious about that too.
Oh, sure. Yes, I can definitely talk about that very happily. If you have a room full of tarot readers and ask that question, you might get other answers. So your listeners should know that there is no one and only this is what tarot is, okay? So, but I will tell you how I think of tarot. So tarot is, in its simplest form, a deck of 78 cards that are divided into groupings. The most basic grouping is the major arcana and the minor arcana. And the major arcana, wait, that might be too much detail for now. Major arcana and minor arcana. The minor arcana is divided into four suits, just like a deck of playing cards. So there are some similarities between a tarot deck and a playing card deck. So that is the essential, what a tarot deck is. Now, a little bit more about that. Tarot was actually invented during, as far as we know, historical records, this is what we know. It was invented during the Renaissance, and the tarot cards were used to play a trick-taking game, much like bridge, called Taroki. And Taroki is actually still played in Europe quite a lot. And if you go to a tobacconist shop, which has like newspapers and tobacco and, you know, like a little kiosk thing, they'll often sell tarot cards and people will buy a deck of tarot cards and play Taraki at a cafe. It wasn't until a few centuries later that people started ascribing esoteric or divinatory characteristics to the tarot deck. And so now fast forward to modern tarot, there are as many different ways to use tarot. Tarot is a tool. It's a deck of cards that you can do whatever you want with that deck of cards. And there are people who will predict the future with them. There are people who will do creative brainstorming. There are people who will do soul work or spiritual mentoring with the cards. There are all kinds of ways to use the cards. So whatever you want to do with them, experiment and see. And then just another little understanding of tarot. There are three basic schools of tarot in terms of what the cards look like. So there's the Marseille, which has the minor arcana looks like playing cards. So there's no pictures on them. There are just the suit emblems on them. And then there is the Taft Tarot, which was designed by Aleister Crowley. And there's the Rider-Waite Tarot, which was designed by Arthur Waite and illustrated by Pamela Coleman Smith. In the United States, most modern decks that are designed follow the Rider-Waite tradition. All three of these decks are very, very, very similar, except for the Marseille, which is a little bit more different. But the Taft and the Rider-Waite, they both come out of the Golden Dawn, which was a Victorian esoteric secret society. And but now we have modern decks that look at the Rider-Waite tradition and composition and interpretations, and oftentimes will evolve those images to be more pertinent for modern society. And I think that's super important about tarot, because I believe that human consciousness is always evolving, and therefore our spiritual tools should evolve to reflect our increased understanding. So my quick little answer.
I love it, because I wanted to know that, because I've always been curious what defines it. So we're going to jump to our first break. When we come back, I want to talk about energy, right? And what you learned in writing this book, because, like, I feng shuied my house when I built it 17 years ago, and everybody that comes here, they always say to me, oh my God, it's such a peaceful energy. And I giggle because I intentionally created it. And that's when I began to really play with energy, right? And how it can ripple out. And, you know, everything I do at this point in my life is about intention and energy. So I use those phrases a lot. So I can't wait to continue our conversation after our break. And I'll be right back.
Looking forward to it.
I am too. And I'll be right back with Barbara Moore of TarotShaman.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm with Barbara Moore, author of Modern Guide to Energy Clearing. So as I shared before the break, Barbara, I feng shuied my house, and I remember getting the book, and I still have it. It's one of the books that continues to make the cut all these years. And that's when I started playing with energy, right? Shifting things. And that's when I started seeing that everything is energy. Mm-hmm. And so in the introduction, I had shared that you believe that when we can clear unwanted energy and begin consciously drawing in positive energies, that's when we can start to feel the shift within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. let's talk about that. Let's talk about what the book is about from the basis of what you really want to impart to your readers.
Okay. There are several important things that I would like to impart to them. One is that, well, and, you know, listening to you talk about your home and the peaceful energy and the feng shui, I think also, you know, it's not, and I'm just guessing here, but it's not just the layout of the house that's creating that peaceful energy. It is you yourself. I think if, no matter how peacefully you set up the house, if you yourself are bringing in energy that is discordant or chaotic or stagnant, your house can only be so peaceful. So one of the important points that I would like to make is that it starts with you, that you can do external work as much as you want, but true, sustainable, almost effortless change happens when you start within yourself. So people who want to go into a store and buy a sage stick and smudge their home, well, of course that can work. I don't believe that it wouldn't work, but it wouldn't be lasting, if you know what I mean.
It's an external fix, but all the change has to start internally first in order to create lasting change and not just do a Band-Aid.
Exactly. So this book, it's kind of a smallish book, but if you work your way through it, you're going to be working through a lot of emotional shadow work. And so it isn't really just about benefiting from the energy of things like crystals or candles or any other work that you do, but getting really deep inside the emotional blocks that are keeping your energy from flowing. And this is another important point. I think the purpose for me of energy clearing, and it's really energy clearing, containing, and cultivation. But that would have made too long of a title. But anyways, mm-hmm. I think the point of it is to achieve energetic well-being or energetic harmony. And the point of that, I think, is the key to living your soul's purpose. So I think a lot of people want to live their soul's purpose. They feel like they've come here for a reason. They have something, some medicine to give to the world that only they can give, and they want to do this. But as long as we are cluttered internally with scars and wounds and other emotional blockages, we're not going to be able to have the energy moving through us in a clear manner, and we're not going to be able to cultivate the energy that's going to allow us to do the work that we came here to do and that we want to do.
It's so beautifully said. And I'm thinking about what you said about, like, even when I was doing the feng shui, which is about 18 years ago, even though that's external, I was thinking as you were speaking, like, okay, what was I going through personally at the time? And that's when I was really accelerating my spiritual path and doing a lot of deep inner work. And I feel I needed my outside to start matching my inside.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what you mean about the so really I was feeling it and doing the internal work and needed the outside to feel it. Have you had any research with the book? Did you find people express it that way? Like, I felt out of alignment, like, oh, something has to shift. The energy out here is not matching the energy in here.
Absolutely. One of the, as far as spiritual beliefs and whatnot, I don't have a ton of like rules or tenets or dogmas. But I do have this one that is actually a hermetic principle, the principle of correspondence. You may have heard it said, as above, so below, as within, so without.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, well, that is one of the guiding principles of my life, one of my North Stars. And yes, I do think that what happens internally is reflected externally, vice versa. This is why symbols work. This is why we're drawn to these sorts of things. And again, a lot of the energy practices I give are things that you do externally that affect your internal energy. And of course, as you said, when we clear ourselves internally, that is going to radiate out into the world. So they go hand in hand. It works both ways. And it's important to understand that, understand what you're doing, like you did. You're like, I got myself all together, sorted out internally and externally, and they fed each other, and it probably was like a snowball effect for you. Like, the more you do, the more change that happens, you know, like a snowball. It gets bigger and bigger as you go along.
It didn't. I started becoming more conscious of energy in general, in relationships, in my body, in how I wanted to feel, and how I wanted to show up in the world. What energy was I bringing to the world? Mm-hmm. Was, you know, because back in my younger years, I've been an entrepreneur since 92, and I've shared the story, but many years back then, I had a retail store, and I was a doer. I was 14-hour days, 4 medium iced coffees a day, go, 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 go until you burn. I didn't know how to be, right? And then, of course, mm-hmm. as you shift and do your internal work, now I want to live from a place, and I do live from a place of beingness, right?
Yeah.
And that's the energy people feel in my brands. They're always like, you have 5 brands and media brands, and you're always so chill and laid back. And I said, it's a conscious choice of how I want to live my life. Mm-hmm. Does that mean stuff doesn't happen? Does it mean projects don't go haywire? But I can't change the outside circumstances, as we're talking about, but I'm always in control in my reaction and energy I bring into the circumstances. That has been life-changing awareness for me.
Yes, yes. There's a card in the tarot deck that I associate with that idea that you just described, and that's the Temperance card, because to me, the Temperance card is this card of gracefulness, that no matter what is going on around her, she is herself, and she's always appropriate to the situation. You know, because when we think about energy, it's sometimes we think about energy as negative or positive, and that can be an easy, you know, shorthand way to talk about it. But for me, I don't necessarily think energy is positive or negative per se, but more appropriate or inappropriate. And so whatever energy is appropriate for a situation, it's not always the same. If things are extremely chaotic around you, then to help balance that, you might want to bring a more stable, grounded kind of energy to the situation. If things feel stagnant and musty and just icky, I think we've all experienced those feelings, then you want to bring a more active energy to it, to liven it up, to kind of make it more effervescent. So energy work, it requires paying attention and being able to recognize and describe and understand what's going on around you, and understanding how energy works with each other. So you can learn, like, okay, the energy's feeling this way, and I know from either my belief system or my experience that if I bring this sort of energy, it's going to balance it in this way. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes complete sense. And when we come back from our break, I want to talk about what you just said about clearing inappropriate energy. And when we come back, I'd love to hear some of the ways that we can clear energy, which I know you share a lot of juicy ones in the book. So I can't wait to hear. And I'll be back in a moment with Barbara Moore of TarotShaman.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ladies, your story has the power to transform lives. four-time best-selling boutique publishing company, Inspired Living Publishing, is dedicated to sharing women's stories of hope, love, and transformation with the intention to inspire and empower their readers to believe in the power of possibility. Share your story in an upcoming print or Kindle project. Visit inspiredlivingpublishing.com today.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTR-FM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, you're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and today we're talking about energy. And so, Barbara, in your book, you share a lot of strategies and energy clearing strategies, as well as so much wisdom. What are some of the ways that we can clear what you refer to as inappropriate energy so that we can maintain healthy energy within ourselves?
Well, there are lots of ways to do that, and I do have some ideas I'd like to share. Some of these are ones that are really personal and useful to me personally, and some are ones that are not necessarily ones that I prefer or resonate with, but other people do. And that is, I think, an important thing to remember when people are thinking about their own practice is, don't do something just because someone else does it or says you should. Try everything out and see how it feels, because it has to mesh with you first and foremost. Okay, so one way to clear energy. If your energy is feeling kind of stagnant, or if you feel like your energy is very mental and you're all up in your head and you want to ground that energy and make it more calm and more balanced, something as simple as walking. Well, because I'm going to talk about movement in general, but walking is a really great energy grounding practice, which I learned this practice. I was I ran a retreat a few years ago, and I, by nature, tend to be more intellectual than grounded. And when I teach, I can get a little heady, and the people in the retreat were getting a little, you could feel the energy going up, 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 and not being really grounded and rooted. And one of the women, much wiser woman than me, said, let's just walk, and it'll help you ground your energy. And I did, and I love walking anyway. So after that, walking became part of my personal energy clearing practice. Walking purposefully tall, you know, like with your shoulders back, with really good posture, and consciously, as you say, with intention, as you take each step, release, release, release the chaotic or heady energy. You can also go in the opposite direction. If you are feeling stagnant, and you want to get your energy moving again, this might sound kind of funny, but dancing by yourself to music you like, Just to get your energy moving. It's kind of extreme and kind of strange.
No.
And it's not one I do a lot because I'm a little bit older. I'm just not really a dancer, but man, sometimes it does the trick.
I do it all the time. I put on Katy Perry's Roar or I put on Happy by Pharrell and I don't care. I can tell when I need to shift the energy. Like if I didn't sleep well and my mind's not as creative, I'm like, oh, okay, I need to shift. And oh, I got my granddaughter doing it now too. She's 6 and a half and she says, but I believe, and here's the thing. If someone's saying, I could never do that, I could just never dance in the middle of the day for the heck of dancing, try it, and I will guarantee, as Barbara's saying, you will feel the shift in energy after. You can't help but feel it. It's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It is funny. Sometimes I think when people hear I'm talking about energy, they're expecting something complicated or bizarre or deep, and it isn't, or it doesn't have to be. These things are just so, I think, so simple. You can get as ritualistic and complex as you like, of course. But I think so many people are so busy already and their lives are so full that if you tell them, well, you're going to have to add a half an hour to your day to do this ritual, to do your energy work, come on.
They're not going to
really
do it.
Sustainable? Do we really need that? Instead, if I say, you take a walk every day, make that walk intentional. You brush your teeth every day. Use that time for contemplation or prayer. I mean, building it into your day, layering it on top of things you already do is kind of a sneaky way to get these little actions in. And like we talked before about the snowball effect, it's cumulative. And small, consistent steps are a great way to create lasting change.
So true. And one of the things that I love to do is, like, Tuesdays is client call day. So I have 9 to 11 client calls on Tuesdays. But I don't put anything else in my schedule. I don't check emails that day. I don't make calls. Everything is about them. But to stay in my body and grounded and clear so I can serve, sometimes I just love to go outside, weather permitting, and lean against a tree, sit on the ground and lean against a tree. During a call or even in between calls.
Mm-hmm.
So because I can't walk. I love the walking idea, too. But for me, something as simple as just going to sit in nature, it doesn't cost anything. Like you said, it's simple. We can do it at any time, no matter where we are. That is something I probably started doing maybe 5 years ago. And for me, that's energy clearing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I talk about trees, too. I love trees. Trees work for me. I have a easy time establishing a relationship with the tree. So, you know, your listeners, you know, maybe they have an affinity for crystals or just stone, regular stones that are outside or certain plants. And, you know, whatever you feel like you connect with, explore and push that relationship with that spirit and see how you can work with it to the benefit of both.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And since I notice when I want to get creative and I'm working on a sacred project, scent is important to me. So I have, I use a blend of essential oils, but frankincense. There's certain scents depending on what I'm doing. If it's a sacred project that I'm really birthing to the world with lots of intention, I want it to be frankincense if I need a little bit of motivation. So do you use scent? And I have some beautiful sprays, too, from, I think it's an organization called the Medicine Bowl, that I've been using, God, since I hosted my first event in 2009. I love this stuff. It's so intentional. Do you scent in your own personal things, whether it's incense or oils or something else?
I do a little bit, but it's so interesting. I don't think in my book I have a category or a section devoted to scent. I mean, I mention it with air because I mentioned burning incense.
And candles, you
candles
mentioned, right?
As well. But and I have sound as a category, but I don't have scent, which is interesting because, and this shows how people need to look for things that really resonate with them. My sense of smell is not that keen, you know, compared to other people. Like, someone will say, smell this. Do you smell? And I'm like, no, I don't. You know, so that is not a very developed thing in me, but I do use it. And frankincense is a great one, one of my favorites, definitely. I like to use lavender sometimes.
Oh, that's my other favorite, my granddaughter's go-to favorite. She loves it.
And clary sage is another one.
That's a great
really
one.
Like.
Yeah, that's a great one for women, but it's all, I have that one too. And I don't just use them. There's some days I don't use any, but there's days that I hear what I need and I just follow the lead. And
yeah.
Go ahead. Watch the Seinfeld show. The family says, oh, she dances like Elaine on Seinfeld. So watch an episode, you'll know what I mean. So for me to suddenly one day get this urge about 5 years ago to put on that song Happy and just dance something out because I felt creatively blocked that day. I was working on a project. That was so out of character for me because I don't dance. But my soul knew what I needed to shift the energy. And that's what you just referred to, right? Listen. Listen in the moment. Mm-hmm. Don't have preconceived things of what you have to do.
Right. Exactly. And if you feel led to try something new or different, do it. You know, just because you never read it in a book or heard it on a show or whatever doesn't mean it's not right for you.
Exactly. And I think that's so important. And I'm glad you brought it up at the beginning, is we're always bombarded with so much new tech, new resources and media and social media. So we're always going to be having things come at us going, try this, do this, do this. Mm-hmm. But you know what? What works for other people doesn't always work for us. And it's about going inward and just listening and asking yourself what works. And because I used to go, oh, I'm going to try that. I'm going to do this. And then when it didn't work for me, and meditation was one of those darn things. For years, I judged myself that I couldn't sit on a cushion for 30 minutes and meditate. And I judged for a long time until I had an awakening, and I'm talking a long time, 20 years. Mm-hmm. I had that story, oh, I can't meditate. Something must be wrong with my mind because I can't sit there. I don't know how these people do it. Until the day I realized, Barbara, one day, while I live in the middle of a spring in the woods, on a spring-fed pond. I'm surrounded by nature. And I was just washing the few dishes that were in the sink instead of putting them in the dishwasher. And I was just watching these birds and a squirrel on the bird feeder. Next thing I know, time went by, and this awareness came into me because I felt so relaxed and grounded. It was only 2 to 3 minutes. And I realized, Linda, you meditate 10 times a day, all day long, because I'm conscious of moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the realization and all that judgment I carried around for all those years of I can't meditate, I realized, oh, yes, I can. That every time I take a conscious break from my computer just to drop from my head into my heart and body and just be, whether that's 1 minute or 5 minutes, that's meditating. So for those who hear a variety of tools and resources, test it out. Don't judge yourself if something doesn't work. Did you find the same thing in your life too, Barbara?
Oh, yes. It's so beautiful and made me a little bit sad that you judged yourself so harshly for so long. But lots of people do. We all do that because we think we, you know, oh, this really great practitioner does it this way. I should be able to. Or everyone's meditating. I should meditate. And, you know, judging yourself, not helping anyone, not helping yourself, not helping the world. Definitely. There are things that work for me and don't work for me. Like one thing we mentioned, you know, scent doesn't play a really huge role for me. So using, like, I love crystals and I love learning about their properties and they're beautiful, but I'm not affected by them as much as some people, so I don't use them in that way. Conversely, my wife is so sensitive to crystals. Like if we go into a rock shop, she has to leave after just a few minutes because she feels all of it.
Yeah, I think my granddaughter's like that. She's always been drawn to it, and I know she can feel them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take our last break, Barbara, and when we come back, I love like cord cutting, shielding, and all that. In the few moments that we have when we come back in the last segment, can we talk about what you mean about cording and shielding? And if maybe you can share, you know, one of the ways that someone could do that if they feel led to.
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. We'll be back in a moment with Barbara Moore of TarotShaman.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Beautiful one, if you're living your life by default and feeling disempowered, disconnected, and disenchanted, it's time to tap into your goddess power and use that divine energy to create the magical life of your dreams. As part of the Goddess Lifestyle Alchemy Program, Creatrix Lisa Marie Rosati guides you through the 12 aspects of your life while tapping into the archetypes, the four elements, the divine, and practical magic. By connecting to the divine and working with universal laws, your life suddenly shifts from going through the motions and struggles to seeing divine love and purpose in all aspects of your life. If you're ready to design your magical life, visit Lisa at goddesslifestyleplan.com for an abundance of supportive resources.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Inspired Conversations radio show on the Om Times Network, or one of the multiple podcast platforms that the show is aired on. With me today is Barbara Moore of TarotShaman.com. So I know how I clear and cut cords and all that. In the book, you talk about cording and shielding as another energy tool. What does cording mean to you? And for the audience, I'm saying the word cord, C-O-R-D, cording.
Yes, this is a practice that I learned during my shamanistic studies. So I don't know if other modalities or paths teach it, but this is where I learned it from. And so how I understand it is cording is the idea that we, everyone, puts out cords and attachments to other people, and other people put them to you. And you can also put them to things like organizations or projects or, you know, non-human things you can also be attached to. And or like social media. I think a lot of people probably have a huge cord to this.
Oh, I believe that.
And so a cord is visualized as a metaphysical, like a hollow tube or a straw that connects you to the other person or other thing. And energy can be taken through that from you. Like if someone has attached something to you, that person can draw energy from you. And if you put your cord on someone else, you can draw their energy into you. Now, I'm not saying this is like psychic vampirism or intentional or malicious. It can be, of course, but I'm talking about normal everyday stuff and us normal people who aren't out to, you know, suck someone's energy out and kill them or whatever. I'm talking about just normal relationships where it just happens. It just is natural that these cords happen. and you are connected to other people, and people connect them, you know, especially people, you know, like you who have a show. So you have lots of people listening to you, and that's a way of connecting with you. And so you have probably a lot of chords as an author. I think the same, I have the same thing. And, you know, they're not bad always, but the point is that you're taking an energy that you may not be conscious of or intentionally cultivating. Also, you may be being drained of energy that you're trying to contain within yourself. So in shamanistic practices, how we do that is we to decord. I mean, it's called cording, but I always think it should be called decording because that's what you're doing, is you're taking the cords off. So stand there, and I start at the top of my head, just because you have to start somewhere, and just at first I pluck off the cords that I've put out onto other people. It doesn't matter what order you do them, and I just do them in order to make sure I do them all. And I pluck off the cords all through me, up and down. Just close my eyes and imagine these cords and kind of move my metaphysical fingers and pluck them off and just kind of pop off like a suction cup. And then I remove the cords that other people have put on me, and then I remove the cords that attach me to other things that are non-human. And, I mean, it doesn't hurt or anything, of course, and I don't do anything more than that. I pluck off the cords, you know, and then I kind of will cleanse myself and contain myself, and that's that. Now, I think some people take it further even, and as they're removing these cords, kind of look at them, examine them. What's the nature of the cord? How big, how small is it? Who or what is it connecting to? Do you, and I think that's could be interesting, maybe useful, but I think for normal everyday hygiene, just decording is sufficient because you don't really need to know about every single connection that happens to you because there are so many that happen every day.
It's so true. And one of the things I've noticed over the years is, you know, when you're anxious and worrying about someone, you're putting mm-hmm. a cord in them and attaching yourself to them, which is unfair mm-hmm. to the person that you're worrying about because it then is draining their energy, right? Or if someone's worried about you, angry at you, and it's coming towards you. Those are some mm-hmm. of the ways. I first heard about energetic cords back, in another lifetime. Prior to all these businesses, I was a massage therapist. And I was at massage school in Cambridge, Mass. And I was a new student. And I was working on the third client in the clinic that day. And I remember coming out, and I'm so grateful I had an awakened teacher. And I remember saying something about feeling the back, something in my back. And she looked at the client's records, medical records, and she said, "You're an empath, Linda." And I said, "What? What the heck is that?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "What's happening is," she goes, "all three clients, you were picking up their energy, which means they're leaving behind cords in you. I need mm-hmm. you to clear your energy. And every time before you walk into this clinic, I want you to zip up." And this is when I first learned about protecting my energy. She had mm-hmm. me bend down. So you don't have to physically bend down, but in your mind's eye, I actually physically bent down because I'm like, I'm not having that. And I, mm-hmm. I went to my toes, and she said, "I want you to picture a white light, and you're zipping it up. You're zipping it up over the top of your crown. See your metaphysical hand coming down the whole back of you, all the way back. You are now sealed, energetic light. Nothing can come in, and you're just surrounded by your own love and light, so you can now serve." It was powerful mm-hmm. for me. And now sometimes mm-hmm. if we have something emotional going on in the family, I like to, as I take a shower, see white light going on me, and it cuts all the cords. It just really washes them away. No cutting, nothing traumatic. It's a washing away, right? That's my mm-hmm. spiritual hygiene. Because when you do have a public face, as you do, and many of the people in the community that I serve do, because I get to play with some extraordinary women, we have to do that daily because we have a lot of eyes on us and energies coming at us. Not negative energies, and I want to be clear, we're not talking about negative energies. We're just talking about everyday life energies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I love having my rituals for that too, and I can feel it once I do.
Yeah. Yes. If there's time, I think there's just like one more one.
Yes, we have 2 or 3 minutes left. I'd love to have you share another.
Okay, because this one is one that I don't normally see listed as like a containing or protective kind of practice. Is I think that one of our guiding lights as we do our energy work are our values and our ideals. And so everything that we do, think, or take action on should take us a step closer to our values, our ideals, to the person who we want to be. And as we were talking way earlier, what happens externally happens internally. I mean, it's all connected. And so I think, and this is, I think, hard for a lot of women, particularly, is the power of the words yes and no. And so when you are asked to do something or participate in something, are you saying yes because your soul wants to do it? Or are you saying no because you know you're not supposed to do it? Or are you doing what's expected of you? And that's just something I think if people think about a little bit more, you know, you can change this idea, well, I'm obligated to do this, or I owe it to them to do it, or it would be so uncomfortable or impolite if I didn't do it. Like, well, okay, those could be motivations or reasons, but just take another step back and is it aligned with your values and ideals? Is it bringing you closer to the person you want to be? If so, awesome. If not, you might want to rethink your opinion on that.
And it's so important because sometimes we give our power away by giving the answer that we think others want to have, and all it does is put anxiety, resentment in our heart, and that's not fair to the other person.
Mm-mm.
Or the other situation, et cetera. So thank you for sharing that extra tip with our listeners today. And I want to encourage everyone to visit tarotshaman.com, TAROT shaman.com. You'll find lots of exciting books and so much more on her Barbara's website. And I encourage you to visit there, pick up a copy of her book, Modern Guide to Energy Clearing. And Barbara, I want to thank you for being here, for doing the work that you're doing in the world, and for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much. I was so happy to be invited and had a wonderful time with you. You're awesome to chat with.
No, thank you. I love creating a sacred container for my guests and my listeners and just have intimate conversations with women whose work I believe is changing the world. So thank you, my friend.
It's an honor.
And I invite everyone to tune in every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time to join me live. Or, of course, you can catch the replays of the shows in the archives and on multiple podcast platforms. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.